No good federal acquisition ever happened without good, solid requirements. The Army spends in the neighborhood of $20 billion a year to develop and buy weapons, but it has trouble developing sound requirements, and now it has an issue with its requirements workforce. Joining me with more, Marie Mack, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Marie, good to have you back.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you.
What you're reporting here is that the Army has ongoing problems with getting good requirements done, and now we find the requirements-setting workforce has been shrinking. It sounds almost like airline food, terrible and not enough.
Absolutely, you're right. The Army has taken actions to improve their processes for requirements development, but one of the biggest issues we found was that when it comes to early requirements development, they are definitely limited by workforce shortfalls.
And you looked at some specific weapons programs to kind of come to these conclusions. What were the top ones that you explored?
Well, we looked at ones that we had 9 different major defense programs, and we looked at the ones that started after this Army report that was done within the Army. And some of them, for instance, included like the ground combat vehicle, which in August 2010, the Army themselves had cited major concerns about the maturity of the technology and concerns about schedule and cost, given systems engineering challenges. And then in 2011, GAO also identified continuing concerns, saying that the requirements analysis, which is our focus of this work, was based on less rigorous methodology than they had previously applied, but the program still went into technology development. This particular program actually ended in 2014 after a $1.4 billion investment. We believe in part due to the lack of understanding about requirements. The Army will say it was strictly budgetary, but our work shows that the requirements development, because they had to modify the program's acquisition strategy, it illustrated the importance of having this early systems engineering review and analysis done early on.
It sounds like the technology and the requirements are hard to separate. You could have a requirement that says this shall float 3 feet above the ground and be impervious to nuclear attack. That's a great requirement, but it may not be technically possible.
Correct. In another program, for example, we looked at this common infrared countermeasure program, which is designed to defend aircraft from infrared guided missiles. The Army's original plan, they went straight to systems development. They completely bypassed the technology development phase based on industry claims that the available technology existed. And that actually, the industry claims actually proved to be incorrect. And then at a later point, they had realized there were significant delays at the program when they had to modify their acquisition strategy to go back and include this technology development phase and to allow for additional prototyping efforts. So again, without doing those requirements analysis early on, that's where they've had some significant delays and cost impacts.
Yeah, so industry will say, sure, we can do that, no matter what it is you ask them to do. Whatever happened to contracting officers' representatives? They were called technical representatives at one time. Now they're just called CORs. Does the Army have enough of them?
We didn't focus on the contracting officers per se. We did look more in terms of the research analysts and the systems engineering and the capabilities managers that exist across centers of excellence in the Army, and those were focused on the requirements development workforce. For instance, systems engineers look at the technical feasibility of the technologies. Research analysts do the broader review of projections in terms of cost and risk to a program. And then the capability managers, they actually determine and write the requirements for the major defense acquisition programs. So those are the main workforce folks that we focused on because they exist in the Army Centers of Excellence and the Army Capabilities Integration Center, which focus primarily on this requirements development piece.
And in the case of something like this common infrared missile defense program, how could they be so far off in what industry is capable of versus what industry said they could deliver?
Well, they didn't even look at they assumed they went directly to, because they assumed it was existing technologies and those exist, they assumed it existed, and they skipped that whole part of the technology development, that particular part of the acquisition process. So therefore, they pretty much took what industry said to heart and kept moving forward and realized, hey, that's not really the case. And then when they realized some of these technologies weren't as mature as they should have been, then they had to go back and redo it again, causing significant schedule delays.
We're speaking with Marie Mack. She's Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And besides this lack of either industry knowledge or lack of doing due diligence before setting forth requirements, you're also finding that that whole workforce that sets the requirements is itself shrinking.
Correct. We actually found that the workforce had declined by 22% since 2008. And we actually looked at the larger DOD engineering trends when we looked at it by service. And Army is also declining in the engineering workforce by 15% overall, where the rest of the DOD-wide has been increasing in their engineering workforce. The DOD-wide has been like a 20% increase. And that's definitely an issue as they move forward. One of the biggest problems is if they don't start assessing some of the needs for the requirements development workforce and address their current shortfalls, understanding that the currently constrained budget, it's not going to have the necessary foundation to ensure viability for its current and future investments in these major defense acquisition programs.
In other words, they need more engineers to make sure that they don't get snowed by the engineers on the other side.
That's a good way of stating that.
And I imagine that would be, that's a difficult human relationship for someone in that job, because the industry engineer is going to say, well, what does he know there in the Army? He doesn't actually do engineering. He only checks on what we do. I'm the real engineer that's engineering here.
Well, at the Centers of Excellence and the Capability Integration Center, they do actual engineering. So I think that's important to look at some of those positions, because they look at whether the requirements are consistent with Army priorities and if they're suitable. And at the Centers of Excellence, they actually look at the potential solutions. What are the material solutions that could be applied? And then they look at cost, schedule, and performance requirements to start reflecting that in the actual requirements development process.
And also, isn't it the case that when the engineering is not all that daunting, when they're buying regular technologies that might exist, sometimes the requirements are such that you can't get everything you want into a single platform? And
correct.
So you get this requirements creep, which is a slightly different issue.
Right. You're absolutely right. That's a little bit of a different issue. But in this overall requirements process, it eventually does go to the Army Requirements Oversight Council, which also has to do a validation of some of these, the initial development stage. And then it also, at some point, does go to the Joint Requirements Oversight Council for final approval and consideration. So if there is a process that initial requirements development goes through to before it actually moves on through the acquisition process.
All of this would be interesting academically if the Army wasn't in such tough straits right now to recapitalize, and there's uncertainty about the future force size, and let alone what are the uncertainties about future deployments here right now. And so what's the way out of this? What are your recommendations?
Absolutely. Our main recommendation is that the Army needs to comprehensively assess its requirements workforce. They've done limited assessments before, but we think they have to comprehensively look at this, because this decline in the engineering workforce is problematic as the requirements development workload increases, because we've seen that the Army is starting to acquire new and more complex capabilities. And until they do that, they're still going to struggle in terms of the systems that they produce at the end.
I mean, there was a time when military engineering and research operations were prestigious, and it was an honor to get into them, and it's something that people strive for. Is that still the case?
We didn't look specifically at that, but I do think that there are still engineers that want to work for the military services, and I think that there has to be a focus on that kind of recruitment and that kind of focus on the development process and getting the engineers into these organizations overall.
And right now, then, you would say the problem is in the Secretary of the Army's lap to get on with this study.
Absolutely, because the decline in requirements is Army's response is that they've prioritized combat readiness in this tight funding constraints, and that's why they've acknowledged the risk to some of these areas, such as requirements development. But it's getting to the point where if many of your systems don't make it through or get terminated because the requirements development was incorrect, or that you're facing significant cost increases and schedule delays, then at some point maybe we need to go back and look at where it first starts, the requirements part.
And maybe it would help to get a Secretary of the Army.
That would help too.
Marie Mack is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post a link to this latest report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.